Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Hello and welcome in to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Hoppin, joined as always by my co-host, Andrew Mackins, and our producer, Garner. Fellas, how are you braving the post-week two injury storm?
I feel like I'm doing okay. I got to say off the bat, and we may or may not touch on this in the mental health minute, but if you're 0-2, things could be a lot worse. You could be 0-2 and have your entire roster hurt. But I lost to Garner in our league of record this week, which was tough. Made some suboptimal lineup decisions there. So I'm not in the best of spirits because I'm 0-2 in a league where we play with a lot of people that aren't as hardcore as us. But my team is mostly intact from the draft. So I think I'm a lot better off to, you know, remember that I'm not out of contention and just got to make some moves.
Right. It is important to keep that in perspective because we're going to be talking about week three today. And that means there's a lot of time to course correct on your path to the playoffs. You've got a lot of time to adjust, change your starting lineup, all that sort of things. It's not like it's week 10 and you need to win the rest of your games to make the playoffs. So you're not, you know, the decisions are still important, but it's not a lose and go home type situation. But Garner, I know you've been hit pretty hard by the injuries in said league of record. So how are you doing tonight?
I was going to say I'm pretty much the same, but opposite of Mackins, where, I mean, again, he started 0-2. I managed to get that 1-1 because I beat him. So I'm feeling good that I'm not off to a like terrible starter. I'm like doing better than I expected. But where his team is healthy, my team is crumbling right now and has three of my top five people on IR. So I'm going to see how I can do going forward here. I'm optimistic, but it's not quite how I was hoping it would go.
I think another thing to keep in mind, as tough as it is with, I think, the guys like Saquon Barkley and Cortland Sutton, who we know are going to be missing the entire year, you can just sort of forget about them at this point. I mean, you can drop them. You don't need to worry about, okay, how long of a stopgap do I need for, say, Christian McCaffrey or things like that. Now, granted, it'd be great if you could get those guys back, but you know sort of what you have with your team for the rest of the season right now and can start to look for that replacement immediately.
Yeah, it's certainly more information than the Will Fuller situation, which, lo and behold, we get to week two and Will Fuller's got a hamstring injury. That was the only like injury that didn't disappoint us, right? Like, no offense to Will Fuller, and I hope he can rehab that hammy, but it sucks because we all should have seen this coming, but we were pounding the table for the Will Fuller breakout.
Yeah, this hurts a lot. I was really excited for Fuller this year. He showed a lot of great promise in that first game, and I actually had him as one of my in players last week. So definitely missed the boat on that one, which doesn't help. But again, you can't predict injuries. You got to remember process over results, and will help give you some better results for the future. So we're going to do our kickoff question. As always, dive into the mental health minute, do our week two preview, and do a little prop after touchdown and start sit. So fellas, without further ado, let's kick things off.
And this game is underway.
So like I said, unfortunately, the biggest storyline coming out of week two was the injuries to a lot of big name players, which means we have a lot of decisions that need to be made. Now, this episode will be posted after you have made your waiver claims, but want to talk to you guys about level of confidence with some of these injury replacement players. So in a hypothetical situation, if you had to spend 100% of your fab right now on one player, which injury replacement guy would you feel most confident doing this with? Andrew, I'm going to kick it to you first. So you have a little bit of an exasperated look on your face. It seems like you struggled with this question.
Well, first off, it's a terrible hypothetical because I would never spend 100% of my fab on one player. At least I don't think. I don't think that's ever happened to me before.
Well, but, our friend Adam Bergen didn't think he was going to spend 100% well, on his fab, but
he also spent 50 when he meant 5. So always got to get that ribbon. Anyway, I mean, if you're in a more shallow league and there are some players available, like, I don't know, somehow Jerry Jeudy or Noah Fant, I would first and foremost check your waiver wire to see if those guys are available. If they're still there in a 10-team or league or something, that's where I would be spending all of my attention, because Sutton, like we mentioned, is out for the year. And I think they'll see a lot of targets regardless of the quarterback play. Now, if we're talking about the hot button, like the running backs that are coming through this week, it's got to be Devontae Freeman. And for me, that's only because I think he's had the best production of any running back we've seen that's available on the waiver wire. Like Devontae Freeman, you know, turn the clock back a couple of years, he was a top running back in the league, or he was even serviceable when he was the starter for the Falcons a couple of years back. So if you're going to spend all of your fab on one guy, it's probably him, because the Giants signed him for that reason.
Right. That's a good point. I think going back to a point you made earlier of checking just who's on your waiver wire, that's something you should be doing if you're listening at the time you're listening to this podcast, because people are going to have to drop players to pick them up. You never know who is going to get dropped. Maybe there's someone that was drafted highly that is not living up to expectations, and they get dropped because, you know, the player just can't stomach it anymore. So certainly something to keep in mind there. I think for me, and this is a bit of a dark horse candidate, but I think it's Daryl Henderson. He's someone that I think is on a lot of waiver wires right now. And Malcolm Brown hurt his hand. Cam Akers, I think, hurt his ribs or something like that. And he performed exceptionally well. He's now the healthiest running back in the Rams backfield, which is crazy to say. You wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago, but he played great at the end of the game against the Eagles this past week. And I think if he's getting the majority of the carries, then he's certainly going to be a very valuable guy. I will note that Wayne Gallman was a healthy scratch for the Giants this past week, which is why we saw Deion Lewis get so many touches after Saquon Barkley left the game. So I understand your logic about getting the guy that they're paying now to take the snaps, but I wonder if they'll have a bit of a committee approach. I do agree that Devontae Freeman in a vacuum is a better talent than Gallman and Lewis, but who knows how they're going to deploy their running backs now that Saquon's gone.
Yeah, I agree with you on Henderson because I like him a lot too, based on, you know, where he went in the draft a couple of years ago to the Rams. And I think he does carry the highest upside. So if you're going for that, like, then go with Henderson. But Devontae Freeman has the most, I think, obvious path to work, whereas like he could be involved all year, and Henderson might have a chance to lose his job to one of these guys that come back from injury.
That's a good point. Not to belabor this too much either, but I think it comes down to the offense that you're buying into. Devontae Freeman might be getting more touches, but Daryl Henderson's touches might be more valuable just because he's on a better offense. So Garner, anyone that you would also like to add?
I mean, those were the main two that I was considering with the way that you worded this, saying 100% of your fab. But another one, I mean, again, I'll just say this again. I wouldn't spend 100% of my fab on him, but I want to bring him up because I've seen him out there a lot, is Jerick McKinnon, who is now the healthy running back in a very run-heavy, great San Francisco offense. I don't think he's not going to have it to himself for the whole rest of the season like these other two guys could, but he's still the lead back now. He's insanely talented. And even when the others come back, I mean, he still scored a shitload of points last week when he shared a lot of time. So
right,
he can be productive for you.
Jeff Wilson will certainly be in the mix in that backfield. We'll see if the 49ers bring someone in as well. But I love the Jerick McKinnon pick there.
Quick point of order, since we, you know, we do project that by the time you're hearing this, all these guys are on other teams in your fantasy league. But I think some of these guys could upset early, and then maybe they're good buy low candidates. So the same way you're checking the waiver wire, check people's lineup, see if you can swing a trade for some of these guys.
Yeah, and the conceit of the way I worded the question was just a level of confidence thing. Basically, which of these guys do we have the most confidence in? So if you were able to grab any of those players that we mentioned, then
they're also currently sell high opportunities because everything's built into their potential.
Yep.
And you could sell them before the week starts and the games are played.
Yep. Very, very good point. Okay, let's get into our mental health minutes. In case you hadn't heard the other day, Skip Bayless was a total dipshit and basically just ragged on Dak Prescott for coming out and saying that he has been dealing with some mental health issues. And I won't get into that because I could go on a very long rant, but the Cowboys played the Falcons this past weekend, what was probably the most exciting game so far this season. And following the game, Hayden Hurst, who we've mentioned on this podcast before, who does a lot of work with mental health awareness, has his own foundation for mental health awareness, came up to Dak Prescott and they had this exchange. We're going to play a quick video from the post game.
Hey, I got a lot of respect for what you appreciate did. Came you. Out and talked about. Me and my mom have a foundation about suicide prevention.
Yeah.
Respect the hell out of you
appreciate
for talking
you,
about it, man.
We can collab one day.
Absolutely.
So that was really cool to see. I mean, I think it's just great to see that players are coming together right now and using their platform to help build awareness for mental health. Like we said, or like I said, Hayden Hurst has his own foundation for that, but we are also running our fantasy football mental health initiative this year to try and raise money for the National Alliance of Mental Illness. So you can go to our Twitter account, PodAfterTD, find the link in our bio if you would like to donate today and help bring awareness to a lot of people that are going through a lot of tough shit. That's for sure. But we move on to a little more lighthearted content. It is our favorite. We don't know if it's our listeners' favorite segment. It's definitely our favorite because we get to go on obscene rants. It is our DiGiorno Players of the Week. Garner, hit the music.
All right, Sam, I'll go first because I did mention I lost to Garner this week, which was really tough. And I made some bad decisions, but you know who also really shit the bed in this scenario is my boy, Julio Jones, one of the toughest players in the league. He gutted out snaps in the shootout against Dallas, but he only managed 24 yards receiving. He also dropped a 50-yard touchdown that would have put me over the top on Garner. I am completely distraught. It's not my fault. It's yours, Julio. It's yours.
Ah, yeah, that was a bad beat. Apparently, Mohamed Sanu is a system quarterback because Russell Gage, man, he's got an arm. But my guy is Kirk Cousins because he just absolutely sucked this past week. And it's not even him necessarily and his fantasy output because not that many people were starting him, but he just cratered the value of every other Minnesota Vikings player. And I can't imagine it getting much better in the foreseeable future. I mean, the Colts, they're a good defense, but they're not great. Like, a 0.0 passer rating through the first three quarters. I had a higher passer rating than him sitting on my couch, which is obscene.
Imagine being worse than Garner Minshew. Garner Minshew tore that Indy defense up. What are we doing here, Kirk Cousins?
I don't know. Ooh-wee. I mean, the Vikings are probably a bottom five team right now. It's crazy to say. Again, we talk about where things stood a couple weeks ago versus where we're at now, and the Vikings just do not look good. But let's move into our week three preview. Things didn't look as great for us in our in and outs. We went 50-50 on our ins and our outs. I had Fuller and Mostert as my two ins. Mostert obviously hitting before he exited the game. You had Kareem Hunt, who played great, and Anthony Miller did not play as well. Far as the players I was out on, I had Myles Gaskins. He didn't have a great game. Melvin Gordon had a decent game, actually had a spectacular receiving touchdown, a catch there to put him at about 15 points and half PPR. And you were out on Carson Wentz. You were also out on Mr. Terry McLaurin. So you've got to pay up and donate some money to the Mental Health Initiative. Unfortunately, he didn't hit 69 yards on the dot. But
It's on the ledger, and we're not going to do any double or nothing bets. So if we put another one up today, obviously I'm still going to donate to our charity, and then whoever loses the next bet will donate as well. So no cancellation scoring there. But the one thing I'll note is we're getting better at this. I think we said we had 1 of 4 each last time, and now we have 2 of 4 each. So our percentage is improving.
I'll take it. Well, I'm going to jump right into it and start off with the guy that I was a little bit apprehensive about at the start of the season, but am getting more and more excited about, and that's Joshua Kelly. He's the rookie running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. They play the Carolina Panthers this week, who are one of the, again, we talk about bottom five teams, that they're certainly near the bottom as well. And their rush defense is just absolutely atrocious. Through two games, the Chargers lead the league with 83 total rushing attempts. So they clearly want to run the ball. And I tweeted out my trap back visualization on Tuesday, and Joshua Kelly has 8 high value touches compared to 6 for Austin Eckler. So a lot of people are getting concerned over Eckler's lack of work in the passing game. Obviously turned it around a little bit in week 2, but it's clear that the Chargers are confident in Kelly being the goal line back. So I think if he gets 10 plus rushing attempts, he'll have an easy opportunity to score and make up for putting him in your lineup.
Yeah, I love this in for you, Sam. I think that a key thing here is it doesn't matter which quarterback plays for this offense. I think Kelly still gets the work. And I don't know what Anthony Lynn is doing with the quarterback room in Los Angeles, but I think that you, like I said, you can count on Kelly's volume. So
exactly.
All right. So I've got an in for you guys, and I may have mentioned this guy's name before. It's a tight end, and his name is Jonnu Smith. He is looking great so far this season. It's going exactly as I planned. And if we talked about the Vikings already, Mo Alie-Cox, the big man, tore up the Vikings last week. He had, I believe, 5 receptions for 111 yards. And Anthony Barr, the linebacker for the Vikings, also is out for the season, I believe, with a pec injury. That guy's been burned in pass coverage before by the Packers plenty of times, so I can't imagine how his backup is going to fare. And this overall defensive unit is still in shambles. They're not really, doing anything to impress us 2 weeks in. So I think Jonnu Smith is an absolute smash.
I love this pick. Jonnu's been an awesome play so far. Obviously broke out last week with a pair of touchdowns. I want to get a quick heat check on you to see where you're at with Jonnu Smith. So I'm going to rattle a couple guys off. I want you to tell me if you would start Jonnu Smith over him, because you might not have these options, but I think it's important to gauge just sort of where we value these guys.
So this week or rest of season?
This week. Well, that's this week. Let's go this week. Jonnu Smith against the Vikings, or Evan Engram, who plays host to the San Francisco 49ers, a beat up San Francisco 49ers defense, I'll add.
Jonnu Smith.
Okay. What about Noah Fant versus the Buccaneers?
This one's tough because in our league of record, I also benched Jonnu last week for Noah Fant, which is foolish of me, of course. But I'll go Jonnu again because I am rolling Jonnu this week, and hopefully he scores more than Fant.
Okay.
But the QB room there, the QB room's just a mess there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Continue.
Another favorite of this podcast, Hayden Hurst versus the Bears.
That one's tough. I like Jonnu still. I think the matchup is so good.
Let's make this a little bit tougher. What about Hunter Henry versus the aforementioned Panthers?
Say Jonnu Smith again. I'm rolling on the Jonnu. I'm rolling on the Jonnu train. I think if you have,
Here's a good litmus test, and this will be our last one. Jonnu Smith or Darren Waller, who plays the New England Patriots.
Waller. Okay. I think Waller gets the volume, time in and time out. So
One,
yeah.
I figured that would be the breaking point, but it sounds like you've got him close to, if not in your top five for this
week. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you have Henry and Hurst that you're starting those guys anyway, but like Jonnu's just as good, especially this week. So sorry, Sam, I can't speak enough about Jonnu, but who's your next in for this week?
Mine is Christian Kirk. I think he's had a less than stellar start to the season. Hasn't had quite the first couple weeks that a lot of people expected. Obviously DeAndre Hopkins taking a lot of the shine in Arizona, but right now through 2 weeks, Kirk leads the Cardinals in deep targets, which I'm defining as 13 or more air yards down the field, with six targets, which is nearly 40% of their deep ball targets. Arizona is one of the leaders in plays per game and just overall pace, so they're bound to continue throwing the ball. They play the Lions this week. DeAndre Hopkins is going to get the primary, the toughest quarterback matchup, whatever that is, for the Lions right now. So I think this is Kirk's opportunity to go off against the Lions. It should be, again, a fairly high-paced game. Stumbling over my words here a little bit, but I'm ready for him to explode and hopefully get that breakout week.
Yeah, I think that's a good call there, especially if you're banged up at the wide receiver position. It can't be all Hopkins all the time. So I've got another tight end for my second in, and it's a guy we haven't, I think, talked about at all yet, even this season. And it's a guy by the name of Logan Thomas, who has gotten some shine in the fantasy football community. Matthew Berry did a best ball draft with, Pete Overzet, the deposit king, the showdown king. And drafted Logan Thomas 101. It's quality content there, but I digress. Logan Thomas is tied for third in targets among tight ends right now with 17. He hasn't converted as many of those into catches, so he's only got 8 catches so far. But he faces the Cleveland Browns, and the Cleveland Browns have been owned by tight ends thus far. Mark Andrews, and then the combination of CJ Uzoma and Drew Sample did work against the Browns. So I think Logan Thomas is a solid desperation tight end start, especially if you the tight ends that you drafted early on, whether that be George Kittle or another late round flyer, have not paid off for you yet.
For sure. I love the Logan Thomas pick. Obviously, you're coming around on some of these Washington football team pass catchers this time around.
Certainly.
It's a little frustrating because I was watching a lot of the Washington-Arizona game this past weekend, and Dwayne Haskins just makes it look so difficult for himself. And, he's targeting these guys a ton, which is great. And I think for a guy like Logan Thomas, that's what you need. I mean, tight ends depend so much on touchdowns, and if you're not going to get that, getting peppered with targets certainly helps. But it's just a little frustrating. And maybe this is the fact that I had, I think, Logan Thomas over 36.5 receiving yards this past week, and he failed to hit that bare minimum despite the number of targets that he had. But hopefully better days are ahead for him and he can continue to thrive in that offense. It's a good transition, though, because the first player that I'm out on is a player from that same game on the opposite side of the field, and that's Baker Mayfield. He had a pretty good game last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, but again, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, not a great defense. We saw what the Washington defensive line did to Carson Wentz in week one, absolutely tore them apart. I think the Browns have an equally poor offensive line. This is, in my opinion, going to be one of the biggest mismatches in offensive line versus defensive line, and I think they just have the ability to wreck the game. Baker still looks a little skittish at times, and I think they'll likely, they might get ahead early, and then we might see what we saw in the second half of the game last week, which is them just pounding the ball down the throat of the Washington football team because they have that tandem of Chubb and Hunt.
Bonus pick here. If you're desperate, stream the Washington football team defense. I think even if they try to, you know, force it down their throats, the front seven could easily shut them down, especially if the line isn't gelling yet. Now, I saw we're starting to put some tandems in our picks here. That's a little tease. So my first out is going to be a combo of wide receivers. And this was a bit of a trap pick last week, but it is matchup based. And that's Allen Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think they both underwhelmed in week two after they both owned the Vikings the week prior. And now I think we can say it's definitely that the Vikings are bad. And that's not to say that the Packers aren't good, but I think the game against the Lions last week showed that Aaron Jones is the second best pass catching option in the Packers offense. And, you know, the Saints are going up against the Packers are going up against a Saints team that is pissed after losing to the Raiders. And I think it's hard to expect them to step up in this matchup. I know they'll be getting second coverage as opposed to, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, but I think it's going to be a tough game for the Packers. Yeah. and not really the best scenario to start either of those Packers secondary wide receivers.
So is this under the assumption that Davante Adams plays this week? Or is this whether he starts or not?
Yeah, no, this is even if Davante plays. I think, like you said, like...
I'm saying, like, if he doesn't play and they're going to be, like, the two number ones, quote-unquote number one, I mean, you're still going to be out on them as sort of the default pass catchers? Okay.
Yeah.
That, I don't hate that either because it might be that one of them gets... you know, heavily targeted and the other one's just sort of left by the wayside and I wouldn't want to have to try and choose which one it is.
I think right now, and again, we're only 2 weeks into the season, but right now, if you play one of these guys, you're banking on one of them converting on a deep ball from Rodgers. And I don't think the Saints are going to let that happen. So yeah, it's hard for me to say a volume-based play is going to work in this game.
Okay. You teased that tandems are a theme in today's show. And this is more of a quaddum. Is that a word? Because it's all the Patriots running backs. Maybe aside from James White, James White's the only one that I might consider starting. But Cam Newton is the de facto goal line running back for this team. You saw against the Seahawks this past week. And again, an equally exciting game that, when they got it within the 3 yard line, it was just quarterback dive or that nifty little out pass to the fullback, which was pretty slick. But he's just running the ball like crazy. Obviously this is not Tom Brady's offense anymore. So I think he's just cannibalizing all of the high value touches that we're looking for from running backs. And they play Denver, who again is not it. Elite defense anymore, but I just think Cam Newton takes too much away to have any confidence in any of these Patriots running backs.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. Also, prayers up to James White. He was out last week, in case you guys didn't know, based on a family tragedy, really, not anything injury-based. So it's still interesting to see what will happen with his fantasy value. But first and foremost, his parents were in a car accident. I believe it was his father who was basically a DOA at the hospital, and his mother's in critical condition. So our hearts go out to him, as he is a former UW running back.
Yeah.
I guess we don't know if he's going to even play in this next game. So it's something to follow as well. But, hopefully he's in a good space mentally.
Yeah, I would expect him to play. My understanding is that the death happened that morning or over the weekend. So I would think he'll be back on the field. But again, something to monitor if he's on your roster nonetheless. Andrew, who's the last person that you're out on this week?
Yeah, so I saw that you picked a team tandem of running backs, and I decided to play copycat. I'm going with the Rams running backs. Now, if you picked up Daryl Henderson already, I think that's great. Like we said at the top of the show, I think that's a great upside play. He could dominate touches as the season goes on. But I don't like it this week against the Buffalo Bills, which is ranked third in run defense 2 weeks into the season. I think, again, you got Henderson for the upside in the offense, but I think this week is going to be, again, a term I might have used last week, a rock fight in terms of the matchup. Very low scoring potential here. And you can double check me on that with the over-unders, but I'm a little, that's an avoid for me, really.
That I like this pick as well. As excited as I am about Daryl Henderson, it's that Buffalo Bills defense is for real. Again, they haven't played the toughest of competition in Miami and the New York Jets, but they certainly have some playmakers in their defense. I had to start Jared Goff in Scott Fishbowl this week. And in case you don't know the scoring for that, quarterbacks get penalized for incompletions and extra penalized for interceptions. So I'm really holding my breath on that one, hoping he can come away with not a terrible game. But
yeah, me too. We both have Goff and Scott Fishbowl. Last note on this, Malcolm Brown is expected to play week 3, according to Adam Schefter. So I don't know if you can trust Adam Schefter or not, but another reason to be out on the Rams running backs this week.
All right. Well, let's get into a little prop after touchdown, which is brought to you by our partners over at Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props, and we want all of you to come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy with us this season. The guys over at Thrive are doing some great work. I've had a ton of fun playing on Thrive Fantasy. They have basically eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport. So you don't really need to dig through to find value on player props like you would have to do on other sites. So here's how it works. For their NFL contests, all you need to do is choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup, which is a much smaller field of players to choose from than your traditional DFS lineups. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with it, with the over-under based on its likelihood to occur. And the more points the selection is worth, the riskier it is, obviously. So you just got to rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. And our listeners can use promo code PAT50. That's PAT, the number 5 and the number 0 when you sign up today. And you will receive an instant match up to $50 on your first deposit of $20 or more. You can download the Thrive Fantasy app on the App Store or Google Play Store today, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. So sign up and hashtag prop up today. Let's talk about some of our favorite props from this Sunday slate. And I'm going to get us kicked off with the Derrick Henry over 0.5 rushing touchdowns. Minnesota has allowed a rushing touchdown to a running back in each of their first two games. Derrick Henry has yet to score, so he's itching to find the end zone. I don't see a situation in which he doesn't score this week. It's just going to happen.
I love that. I've got a TD-based one as well. It's over 0.5 receiving touchdowns for Calvin Ridley. That one will get you 120 points. He's been on fire to start the season. And there's a little something called gambler's fallacy that people assume if something's happened before that it's less likely to happen in the future. That is not the case with Calvin Ridley. I think he could keep scoring touchdowns, and obviously that's a good point total for you in terms of odds. So I'd love to hammer that over there.
Good stuff. Garner, what do you got going on this week?
Mine kind of has an asterisk on it because it depends. If Devontae Adams is playing, I am taking Aaron Rodgers for over 2.5 pass touchdowns. I know he's against the Saints D, but I mean, it's the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. I mean, I am all in on that right now. I think he can easily throw three touchdowns and he'll get you 130 points for your thrive.
Awesome. The last one I'm going to throw out there is Jonathan Taylor over 95.5 total yards. So that's rushing yards plus receiving yards. Taylor has totaled 89 yards in each of his first two games and they played the Jets. So I think that's reason enough.
I love that. I'm going to double down. I'll give you another over. Alvin Kamara, 103.5 total yards. He was a wagon on Monday night. This is 103.5 total yards, rushing and receiving. I think it's easy for him to get that against a Packers defense that's not nearly as good as the Packers offense. So we want to be part of the overs club where we've got all overs here. I just love it. It's great for your Thrive lineup. Just go all overs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Over is the best way to go. Life's too short to bet the under. Okay, so that's promo code PAT50 that you can use to get an instant match of up to $50 on your first deposit. $20 or more, go prop up today with us. So let's wrap up this episode with a couple start sit questions. And this one, again, first week, we were in lockstep. Last week, we were split down the middle. So we'll see if we've got a little more synchronization this week. Our first one is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who plays Thursday night at Jacksonville, or Mitch Trubisky, who plays at the Atlanta Falcons.
I think we're kicking it off with the toughest one here. We were talking about this off pod for our podcasters league. Spoiler alert, we're 2-0, no big deal. I have Mitch Trubisky highlighted, and I think the biggest thing is the worst case scenario. Do you think Fitzpatrick could get benched in this game against the Jaguars? They're 0-2. Like, if Tua is ready to go, what better time to play him?
That's tough. I mean, I think if they're going to play Tua, I don't think they would throw him. I don't think they'd throw him in on a Thursday night on a short week against Jacksonville. I mean, I'm going with Ryan Fitzpatrick here. I love the beard. I'm going to go with him over Mitchell the Bitchell Trubisky.
I mean, that Atlanta defense, you know, they can force turnovers, but they also let up a ton of points after the fact to Dak Prescott, even after all those turnovers. So I don't know. Mitchell Trubisky, he's up there in scoring, or he was at least after week one. So yeah, it's tough to
Trubisky
say.
Trubisky can have like 40 straight games with 40 plus fantasy points, and I still won't put him in my lineup. But Garner, do you want to break the tie here?
Yeah, I'm not happy about it because I'm going to say Trubisky, actually. It's a lot of, like Maggie said, Atlanta D is just, they just let you do whatever you want. Like, I mean, they might get a turnover here or there, but like Trubisky could still throw for at least three touchdowns on these guys fairly easily. Fitz magic just hasn't quite been there this year. And it's just one where, again, Trubisky's not the best, but he's been performing adequately. Not pretty, but it's been good enough. So I pick him here.
So what I'm hearing is we're going to have to start Trubisky. We outvoted Sam in our lineup decision for this week in the Podcasters League.
you want to start him and rue the day that Ryan Fitzpatrick outscores him, then by all means do it. Let's move on. These last couple quickly. We got AJ Green at Philadelphia or Ronald Jones at Denver. I'm going to go with AJ Green. He's tied for fifth in targets this season with 22. He just hasn't been able to convert those into receptions. So I think he does that against Philadelphia.
Yeah, Garner, you can cue the Sarah McLachlan here if you want, but Ronald Jones, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I believed in you. We have to put the curtains on you. AJ Green has seen a crazy amount of targets, and I think he leads the league in air yards. I'm sorry, Sam, if you already said that, but it's also with Ronald Jones just completely shitting the bed. He could have been a DiGiorno player of the week after playing Carolina and basically losing his job on live television to Leonard Fournette. I'm sorry, Ronald.
Yeah. Okay, next one is two running backs from the same game. We've got Mike Davis taking over for the injured Christian McCaffrey playing the Los Angeles Chargers, and the aforementioned Joshua Kelly versus the Panthers. I said my piece before. I'm going to go with Joshua Kelly. Mackens, what about you?
Yep, it's Kelly. Like we said before, great opportunities thus far. Carolina's an awful run defense. I'd play him over Ronald Jones for sure. I'd play him if I hindsight against Carolina. Yeah.
Okay. Second to last one here. We've got T.Y. Hilton versus the New York Jets or David Johnson at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh defense is a wagon, and I don't like starting any running back against them right now. So I got to go T.Y. Hilton versus the Jets.
Same. I think if T.Y. Hilton can't do it versus the Jets, then he's got to be considered droppable almost at this point. I mean, especially with Paris Campbell out, if he can't do it versus them, then I don't know when I'm going to trust him in my lineup. Last one we've got here is Anthony Miller at the Atlanta Falcons, like we said, or James Robinson versus the Miami Dolphins.
I went James Robinson here. I'm sure with all of your Mitchell Trubisky slander on this pod that you are not going to start Anthony Miller. But I think he also tweeted out something great about him, not getting as much opportunity snap-wise or route-wise this last week. And so it's tough. Like, he only gets three targets. How can you trust that to go up, even in a good matchup?
I mean, are you expecting Mitch Trubisky to just throw all of his touchdowns to Allen Robinson then? I mean,
I love Allen Robinson, and Allen Robinson didn't get fed last week. I messed up that over bet on touchdowns, but
I'm in lockstep with you there. I'm going with James Robinson. Like you mentioned, there was an article in The Athletic that talked about Anthony Miller and how Matt Nagy is just more comfortable having Darnell Mooney and Javon Wims play in certain situations depending on their personnel. So that just doesn't bode well for Miller at all. I think he could be on a short leash potentially. But this was a fun episode. I'm excited. I'm ready for week three. Hopefully better days are ahead injury-wise. We get a little less negativeness in week three, but for Andrew Mackens at Andrew Mackens, for Garner at Garnther, I am Sam Hoppen. You can follow our podcast account at Pod After TD. And with that, the kick is good.